Resorts, homes, and the newly built hospital have been washed away.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever.
We need to be prepared for the future.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
And make sure everyone's safety comes first.
Save what for dream. You must ready.
Clearing roads, restoring critical infrastructure.
Eventually, I know it's going to hit. It's only a matter of time.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Hello and welcome to Pacific Prepared. I'm Fred Hooper. We've got a great team of reporters who are on the ground chatting to you. And the stories we bring you could help you, your family and your community prepare for natural disasters. The weather and how it affects you is already part of your life. So let's keep talking about being prepared. On today's show, how mangrove revegetation is helping the coastlines of Papua New Guinea.
They have senses, like they sense the weather. So as soon as they feel that there's wind coming or there's going to be a big storm, they put down their roots to protect themselves.
Also, planning around the relocation of communities in Tonga following the volcanic eruption. Yet another logistical challenge for the people of Tonga. And also, how gender inclusion could dramatically improve the way that communities prepare for natural disasters. That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
Being prepared is to save lives, to save properties.
Helping you stay safe.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
When you think about revegetation, I wonder what you see. Inland somewhere, a forest kind of area, maybe hundreds or thousands of tiny trees wrapped in plastic to help protect the young trees while they grow. There's revegetation happening in Papua New Guinea at the moment, and it's very different to these pictures. For a start, they're in the water. Climate change is impacting on mangrove populations along PNG coastlines. Pacific Prepared reporter Diane Waketsi spoke with some of the people involved with this project to find out how their work is helping.
These women say that this mangrove ecosystem has not only benefited the surrounding community through the return of marine life, but has also helped to protect the community against natural disasters. According to a website by Worldwide Fund for Nature, mangrove forests are productive ecosystems that provide many goods and services both to the marine environment and its people. 6 years ago, a remote coastal village in the Kairakohiri district of Central Province in Papua New Guinea embarked on a project to replant a mangrove forest to protect their coastline and to maintain their livelihood. However, it has not been an easy journey, but perseverance and the desire to ensure they leave behind a healthy mangrove forest for future generations has enabled the people to continue to work on their mangrove project. Leading the way is Women in Management, or WIMA chairlady and spokesperson, Marie Helen Mame.
We started this project in 2014 is 6 years now. We have been planting, we have three species that we have been growing, nursing to plant. The first one is the front liners. We have the ones that with the big roots that come in front. And then we have the second one that's a bit further where the beach and it goes in. And the third one is in the bushes, it's right at the back where it supports the front liners. So when there's a wind blowing or when there's waves coming in, they help to support each other. But Something interesting that we found out is that when we have the frontliners, we have like really big roots. So when you see, well, I mean, they have senses, like they sense the weather. So as soon as they feel that there's wind coming or there's going to be a big storm, they put down their roots to protect themselves. And that's like it helps hold the soil near the beaches. So we don't have much of soil erosion, like the climate change.
Previously, the people of Pokama's lack of knowledge on environment and conservation had led them to harvesting their mangrove forest and sourcing food for daily sustenance and income generation in an unsustainable manner.
We didn't have much of this thing, like we didn't know that mangroves were like gonna be important to protect our environment. So we normally go ahead and just cut anything, you know. And then when we found out, like one of these NGO groups came in and like they gave us awareness on NGO group PNGCLMA. When they came in, they gave us awareness on how to protect our mangroves, and that's when like it gave us the interest to start planting. And we know that we are gonna benefit from this mangrove thing here. It's more than maybe 3,000 or something. It's more than that, more than 3,000. And there's some in the nursery that needs to be planting. I mean, it needs to be planted out. So what we do is like we plant the ones that are ready, we plant them out, and then we start nesting new ones. So after 2 or 3 months, we start doing our planting again. So it's like when we see the leaves, like 2 or 3 leaves are coming out, we know that it's ready for planting. Okay, future plans, like we do this like voluntarily, like for we women volunteer to do this job with the help of our children and our husbands. We want this to continue, and we know that in future it's gonna benefit our children and our generations to come. Before we didn't, like, when we didn't have these plants around, there was not much fish and crabs, shells and all that. But now with this rehabilitation area that we have a lot of fish coming in and crabs and shells that are coming to reproduce and all that. So we are more than happy to have this type of project in place.
A recent survey conducted by Dr. Lawon Balun from the University of Papua New Guinea found that the mangrove area located along the Hall Sound Bay covers over 37,000 hectares and is home to 72 different mangrove species, which makes this area the largest and most diverse mangroves forest in Papua New Guinea. With this information in hand, the women of Pokama, with the support of their village chief and community at large, embark on a significant drive to ensure they continue to preserve this important resource. The chief of Pokama Village, Peter Icy, during a recent interview, acknowledged the work that women in his community have done and continue to do. He says the whole community embraces the project despite the struggles they've faced at the initial stages of the mangrove rehabilitation project.
We are doing this for the good of the community. Not now, tomorrow. We are talking about tomorrow. So from that, maybe most of the young guys, they thought that we're telling them the right story. And that's the path we should go. So from there, they allowed their wife to come. But in our culture, women are not allowed to go on to the patapata. But I, for one, I allowed all the women. I said, this patapata is for everybody, even animals can go on to the patapata. So from that, women came onto the platform. PNGC, LMA came and they ran this workshop. So from that, we understand. So, like in Pokama alone, the men do allow their wives to come for this project. If they won't allow the project, their wives, the project won't be working. But thank you very much for these young guys, they allow their wife to come.
Pokama village in Papua New Guinea has set an example for other coastal villages to start thinking seriously about the conservation of mangroves. Chief Icy is happy that the future of his village is secured for generations to come.
It's something good for the community. And I also told them, this is not something good for me. It's something good for our generations to come and for tomorrow. I'm not talking about today, I'm talking about tomorrow. So let's all contribute. So we all contributed. But some went against us, but somehow they turned back and came. I told them, this boat is called MV Pokama. So we all have to be on the deck. Not everyone must be left out.
Pacific Prepared reporter Diane Waketsi, reporting from Papua New Guinea.
It was a terrifying night. Everything was shaking and getting pounded by debris.
We had to make sure that they have a safe shelter and drinking water.
Helping you stay safe, Pacific Prepared.
After the volcanic eruption in January 2022, some communities in Tonga are still finding their feet again. And some are still in the process of relocating. The new locations for these people and communities have needed a fair bit of consideration around design to make sure that they're suitable for a group of people to live in indefinitely. Pacific Prepared reporter Anasiu Falakono reports from Tonga.
Their Majesties King Dubuda VI and Queen Nanasibau are taking the lead in the resettlement project called Bale Tu'a. Bale Tu'a is the Tongan word for shield or refuge. The name of the project was taken from the Tongan hymn of the Free Wesleyan Church, reminding the people, following the devastation on the 15th of January, that through the most difficult moments of hardship in life, God is still our refuge. The Bale Tu'a project is the Majesty's resettlement project for the residents of the estates only, which are the people from the island of Mang of Ha'apai Islands and the people from the village of Kanakupolo on the western side of Tongatapu. The island of Mango and the village of Kanakupolo were greatly affected from the volcanic eruption and the tsunami earlier this year. The Lord Chamberlain Moses Sevakasiwola says the main aim of the Bale Tu'a project is to assist the process of recovery for the people of Mango and Kanakupolo, especially that during this period, the people of Mango are temporarily using the church hall at Longolongo and will resettle on the island of Ewa, on a village called Ta'anga, while the people of Kanakupolo will move further inland to the village of Matatoa in Tongatapu. Both Ta'anga and Matatoa are His Majesty's estates.
With the current situation, we are trying to ensure that the new places for the victims will have the components of a Tongan village. For instance, the people of Kanakupolo will move to the new area called Matatoa. We will ensure that there will be a multipurpose hall available for the people, a place of worship. The village will have a space for the informal sectors so they can operate their small businesses to generate income. And most importantly, the people will have enough space to accommodate their daily needs. The resettlement will see a whole new community at Matatoa. Each family will have a unit area with 30 pounds long of land from the 29.8 acres of land assigned by His Majesty for the resettlement. Each family will have a house on their piece of land.
The project is worth more than 24 million pa'anga and most of it is funded by their majesties. The government is helping with connecting water and electricity to these areas.
There are various ways that we're looking at to fund this project. We're seeking financial assistance from abroad and relevant stakeholders. Negotiations have been made with donor partners. At the moment, we are yet to finalize the main design that will be used for the new homes for the victims. Funding of this project is not included in the Palace Office vote for the new fiscal year. It is His Majesty's private project for his people, specifically for the victims from his estates, during this recovery period.
Meanwhile, His Majesty's private secretary, Sione Fifita, confirmed that the people of Mango will most likely start resettling in the village of Ta'anga Ewa next month and will start on a temporary shelter while their new homes will be constructed, which is expected to complete later in the year. The village of Matatoa in Tongatapu was once used as a temporary relocation area for the people of Nuafo'ou following the eruption in 1946.
Lots to think about there as those communities prepare to relocate to a new location after the volcanic eruption in January. Pacific Prepared reporter Anasiu Falakona reporting from Tonga.
Be informed.
Be ready. Pacific Prepared.
Being in the Pacific, I wonder if you ever plan for colder conditions, or at least conditions where you might be exposed for a period of time. It's not always easy to think about these things when you live in a predominantly warmer climate. If you've got a go bag of some kind, I wonder if you've also included a blanket or something to cover yourself with if you've got to leave your home in a hurry.
Helping you stay safe.
Pacific Prepared. When disaster strikes, you may have to evacuate quickly and be away from your home for some time. So, disaster authorities recommend making a kit with some essential items you will need if you have to flee your home. These are commonly known as go bags. Your go bag should be brightly colored and easy to carry, something like a large sports bag or backpack. Some go bags have a lot of items and can be quite expensive. Some cost almost nothing. Each episode, we will bring another item for your go bag, and you can decide if it is right for you and how you can make it work. Pack some clothing and blankets in your go bag. If someone falls sick or is injured, can you keep them warm? You may not have shelter during some disasters. Children are more vulnerable to heat and cold and should have clothes for all conditions. You may also want to pack something small to make your children feel safe. They may be far from home and a disaster can be scary, so a favorite small toy or pillow can provide great comfort. Moving around can be dangerous during and after a disaster, and gloves and boots can help protect you. Clothing and blankets should be in your go bag. Listen in next time for another item that will help make you ready to go. This information has been drawn from various sources, including the Red Cross, the United Nations, and government agencies. Be informed, be prepared, Pacific Prepared.
Some more handy tips when putting together a go bag, especially around staying warm.
Save what for dream. You must ready. Pacific Prepared.
There's a program in Vanuatu that's hoping to change some of the thinking and planning around gender inclusion when it comes to disaster preparation. Thinking about how different genders can approach different problems could really help some communities, not just in Vanuatu, but right across the Pacific. Pacific Prepared reporter Florence Fanua reports from Vanuatu.
Oxfam Vanuatu's Disaster Ready program is actually changing people's mindsets on gender inclusion in Sheva province. The Vanuatu Humanitarian Team Coordinator at Oxfam Vanuatu, Glenn Bakoa, says people's perceptions now on the importance of disaster preparedness are starting to change.
People's knowledge have increased a lot around disaster preparedness and disaster risk reduction.
He says communities are starting to integrate gender inclusion into their recruitment processes and their meeting spaces.
We measure our the impact of the HP Disaster Ready program is by identifying the outputs and the outcomes of the activities we implement. So from the, for example, for the the simulations or the drills we conduct in communities and the capacity building workshops and trainings we contact with CDCCs, we found out that over a period of time, communities' perception about how important disaster preparedness is start to change. Let me put it this way, like their mindset start to change. Okay, now the next time we, after the trainings, few months pass and we go into the communities, we see that CDCs are including women in as members of the CDCCs. Like first, only men are recruited as members of the CDCCs. But over time, when we revisit the communities, we find out that, oh, there's a couple of women now that are included in the CDCCs. So it gives us that idea that, okay, people's knowledge are starting to change. They're starting to integrate gender inclusion into their recruitment processes or the meeting spaces. Women are also involved. Women are represented. So this is the, like we say, the outputs of the capacity building we're conducting, because we know that women in women's role in disaster preparedness and response is very very important. So we also try to push for gender equality in the CDC setups and yes, meetings around disaster preparedness. Women and girls must also be involved.
Pakoa says Oxfam's Disaster Ready program is also building people's capacity.
And over a period of time, we're trying to see the outcomes of the programs we're implementing in communities. Say for a period of 3 years, we found out that, there's a community in Eton now that they have opened up a bank account and they're doing fundraising towards building an evacuation center inside the community. So these are the types of changes we're looking for through these programs. So you have these outputs where communities' mindsets are changed, and then from these outputs, they are it results in the long-term outcomes of the programs where you start seeing tangible changes in communities like a small evacuation center has been set up because people are motivated, or the capacity have been built from the programs we're running in the communities. Just for an example, a recent one, we have this very proactive leader up in Rangorango who is also a pastor. I won't mention his name, but he's been working very closely with us. He's one of the most recent CDCCs that we've set up last year. So during the, I believe it was the Cyclone Tofi, we got a call from him that during that TC Tofi, he rang us up and said he has mobilized his CDCC in Rangorango, and they're harvesting kumalas from a garden that they've created for the CDCCs. They're harvesting kumalas. They're putting them into baskets, and they're selling it around Port Vila. And they requested if they could come to the Oxfam office to sell the kumalas for the money to go back to the baskets for them to assist their families. So it's things like that that we're looking for when working with communities. Community-owned projects or community-owned activities are the ones that last. If we go in there and we're trying to push for them to do things without them having that heart, having that will to own the programs won't last in communities. But if communities feel that they own these programs, they own the projects, then of course they will do all their best to make the sustainability of the projects last in the long run. So, yes, this is just some talks around the impacts we're trying to see in communities.
Cyrus Maldog, the monitoring evaluation officer at Oxfam Vanuatu, says for the past 10 years, people don't have enough knowledge on disaster preparedness. But now, major changes are happening in the communities as people came to understand the importance of disaster preparedness.
I would say that for the past 10 years, the knowledge on disaster preparedness is not up to a standard where every people has that capacity or that knowledge on disaster preparedness. So as we know, times passes, people tend to find new ways of get information and to access more information on, especially on disaster preparedness. The other thing is when the AHP program has established, and we have established the CDCs within the said communities. Now we have come to see that there is a big difference or a big change is happening within the community, as people are becoming to understand and know what exactly are disaster preparedness activities and what exactly are disaster response and recovery activities. Most of our communities around in Efate, particularly, and are becoming to understand what exactly is disaster risk reduction and disaster preparedness. Not only in cyclone, but moreover to other natural hazards such as tsunami, flooding, landslide as well. Yes, the knowledge of disaster preparedness and disaster risk reduction is becoming to arise in communities as people are now understand the risk and are now understand the roles and responsibilities of the CTCCCs that are established within their communities. Yes.
Bakoa says the cyclone BAM in 2015 came as a wake-up call for everyone in Vanuatu, especially the non-government organizations working in the humanitarian sector and the government, to upscale their disaster preparedness activities.
If we compare the knowledge of community members before and after TC BAM, after Tropical Cyclone BAM, I'm certain that if you go into communities and you ask them ask them basic knowledge about disaster preparedness and response, I'm sure they'll give you some answers that even before TC BAM, you wouldn't have expected them to say that.
The Vanuatu Humanitarian Team Coordinator at Oxfam Vanuatu, Glenn Bakoa, and Cyrus Maltok, the Monitoring Evaluation Officer at Oxfam.
Just one of the many projects Oxfam runs throughout the Pacific, Disaster Ready. And at the moment, they're focusing on gender inclusion to help planning around natural disasters. Pacific Prepared is supported by the Pacific Media Assistance Scheme, with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of PACMAS or the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, NBC Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Capital FM 107 Vanuatu, FBC Fiji, Samoa National Radio 2AP, and TBC Tonga. The easiest way to get in touch is to search for Pacific Prepared and then hit the Contact Us button. My name's Fred Hooper. Please share any information that you've learned today and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.